We're doing Gemara Rosh Hashanah, we're up to Daf Gimel Amud Beis. And we had said that the Gemara began with Rav Chisda on Gimel Amud Aleph, that Jewish kings, their year changes in Nisan, but the kings of the world, their year changes in Tishrei. Matif Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef asks, the Pasuk says in the book of Haggai, Biyom 24 lachodesh bashishi, it was the 26th, the 24th of the 6th month, Bishnat 2 l'Daryavish, in the 2nd year of Daryavish. So it is the 24th of the 6th month. The 6th month is Elul. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul. So at the end of Elul, meaning 6 days later, the year should have changed. And yet when the Pasuk in a few psukim later in the Navi Haggai says Bashvi'i, in the 7th month, the month of Tishrei, should say that now we're holding the 3rd year, Beslimechad Lachodesh, in the 21st of the month, the Imita, and if really the year changes, when we talk about the kings of the world, the year changes in Tishrei, Bashvi'i Bishnat Gimel Mibaylei, then it should have said in the 7th month and the 3rd year. If we're saying that the kings of the world, their year changes in Tishrei, so then Darius's year, Daryavish, his year should have changed in Tishrei. So that's Rabbi Yosef's question. Amar Rabbi Avu, so Rabbi Avu answers, Koresh Melech Kasher Haya, Koresh was a kosher king. Lefichach Manu Lo Kemelchei Yisrael. So we counted his years like a Jewish king. Matkip La Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef comes back with an attack. Chada, firstly, if you're going to say it was a kosher king, so his years all started in Nisan, Dinkin, Kashukaya, Dadi. So then I have a question from a different verse, Dichtib. Because the verse says in the book of Ezra, Vishetzi baita dinad yom tlata li racha daudi shnat shet le malchut ayavish malka. And they completed the building of this building, the building of the temple, to 3 days in the month of Adar, which is the 6th year of Darius. Now, that means 3 days into the month of Adar. Now, what Rabbi Avu answered was that in Darius, in Koresh's reign, they counted from the month of Nisan. So then, 27 days later, in the month of Nisan hits, it should be year number 7. V'tanya, and we have a braisa, b'oto zman l'shana ba, ala Ezra mi-Bavel v'galuto imo. A year later, exactly, Ezra ascended from Babylon with the exile. So we're holding year 7 in Adar. He starts leaving Babylon. He makes his trek to Jerusalem. V'chtiv, in the verse says, v'yevo Yerushalayim, he finally made it to Jerusalem. 6 months later, v'chodesh ha-chamishi, hishnat ha-shvit la-melech, in the 5th month of the king. Now, at the 7th year. According to what we're saying, year number 7 was in Adar, but when you hit Nisan, you hit year number 8, right? If you say he started making his journey a year later, so Adar a year later is Adar year number 7. And then he finally makes it to Jerusalem 6 months later. Well, that Av should have been Av of his 8th year. If you're saying the year changes in Nisan, so then he started his journey in Adar of the 7th year. And then when Nisan comes, it's already the 8th year. And it doesn't say that. So that's question number 1 that Rav Yosef attacks. How do you tell me that Koresh's year goes by Nisan? That doesn't work with the verses in Ezra. And secondly, so firstly he says, V'imita shnat shminit mi baile. First question is, it should have said the 8th year. Ve'od, and furthermore, we were talking about Koresh. Yeah? You're telling me Koresh was a kosher king, and I was talking about Darius, Daryavish. The verse in Haggai is talking about Daryavish. You're talking to me about Koresh. Ve'od, and furthermore, mi dami, how are you comparing? Hatam Koresh, hacha Daryavish. I was talking about Daryavish. You're telling me Koresh was a kosher king. What's the connection? Answers the Gemara, Tana, in answer to the second question, who Koresh, who Daryavish, who Artashasta? The same person had all three names, Koresh, Daryavish, Artashasta. Koresh, Shemelech Kasher Haya. Koresh, he was a kosher king. That's why it was called Koresh. Same letters as kosher. Artashasta al Shem Malchuto. His kingdom was called the kingdom of Artashasta, but that wasn't his real name, Umashmo, but his real name was Daryavish Shmo. His name was Darius. So that's why the Persian history books, they discuss a King Darius and Koresh, Natakhshasta, and then people ask all kinds of questions about our history. And we have a tradition that Darius and Koresh and Natakhshasta are really repetitive names for the same king. So that, the fact that the history books seem to discuss a Darius and a Koresh and an Artaxasta, we say they were all one and the same.
They don't give different years for Koresh and for...
I don't know, I didn't look at the books. Mikol makom kasha. Nonetheless, we didn't answer the question. The verses in Haggai seem to indicate that the year did not change in Tishrei. And the verses in Ezra seem to indicate that the year did not change in Nisan. So now we're stuck. Which way are we going to go? Amar Rav Yitzchak lo kasha. Rav Yitzchak says that's not so hard. Kan kodem shechmitz, kan lachar shechmitz. Before he ruined, before he turned sour. So then the rabbi said, oh, what a great king, Koresh. He lets us build the temple. We're going to count his years like a Jewish king. So then that's in the book of Haggai, the beginning of his reign. He tells us, go build the temple. So that's where you see you count his years from Nisan like a Jewish king. By the time you hit Ezra, by his sixth year, his seventh year, and his eighth year, then the rabbis realized he turned sour. So they started counting like the kings of the world. They switched his count. So the Gemara says, Matkif la Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana comes on the attack. Umich meets. What did he do wrong? Ezra is the time when he sends Ezra to rebuild the temple. V'aktiv, but the verse says that when he gave them license to go and rebuild the temple, he tells them, Umachashchan, and whatever you guys want, take. He gave them a license, and he said to his treasurer, and give them whatever they want. Uvnei Torin, V'dichin, V'imrin, give them oxen, give them sheep, give them males, that they will sacrifice to the God of heaven. Chintin melach, chamar, umshach. Give them salt, give them oil, give them wine. Kemamar kahanaya divirushalem, as the priests in Jerusalem tell you. Leve mityehev lehom yom biyom dilo shalu. Give them every day whatever they need and don't miss out. So he's giving them a license to have what they need. How come you're saying he turned sour? Amalo Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rabbi Yitzchak turns back to Rav Kahana and says, Rabbi mitunach, Rabbi, from the load that you're bringing as an attack on me, I'll take from that same verse that you're bringing as an attack against me, why don't we continue and see the next verse, and that's the proof that he turned sour. Because what does he say? Dilevon me'akrevin nichochin le'el ashmaya u'matzalyin l'chaye malkah uvnoi. They will bring sacrifices and pray for the life of the king and his children. So his whole purpose in serving God is that he will do okay. They'll serve God so that he lives, he has longevity in his children. So the Gemara says, wait a second, uman David achi lav malyutei, and someone who does that, you don't view that positively. Batanya. But we have a brisa that says the following. If someone says, I designate this sela for charity so that my children will live, and so that I merit to the world to come, the brisa says, if he does this on a steady basis, that's a complete tzaddik. So what do you want from him? The brisa says, someone who does it is a tzaddik. You're telling me he turned sour when he gave the license to rebuild the temple. How does that work? Says the Gemara, lo kasha. Kan b'Yisrael. Kan b'Avdei Kochavim. Depends if you're dealing with a Jew or a pagan. A Jew, his intent is for the sake of heaven. And if things go terrible, you know, he designates the coin to tzedakah, and then his child, God forbid, dies, and his business goes sour. So he says, okay, I've sinned. That's what we call Jewish guilt. He takes the responsibility for himself. He doesn't turn against the Creator. But a heathen, when things go bad, he turns towards heaven and he wags his fist, and like we saw, he kicks the sukkah. He says, what is this? I thought this is supposed to work. This doesn't work. This is broken. So there, our sages said, he's not allowed to designate the charity this way. And if he does, then it's considered improper. So this is where we see that Koresh went bad.
Wait, is that in Rashi or Tosfot? I'm just curious.
Rashi,
just...
Rashi.
It's in Rashi?
The Beit Eman, if you want, I'll tell you another answer. How do we know that he turned sour? Because the verse says, when he told them to build the temple, he said, and build the walls, Nidbachin de'even gilal tlata, v'nidbach di'achadat, v'nivkitam in ve'etmarkatat it'yehiv. So, he told them, I want them to have such and such layers of stone and such a layer of wood. Why was he doing that? Savar, he figured, Imaldu bi Yehudai, if the Jews rebel against me, then their fortification won't stand my attack. Ikalye benura, I'll be able to light their fortification with fire. Meaning he told them, build their walls, but make sure that at the foundation of the walls there's wood, so that if I ever need to attack them, I can take down those walls by lighting them. They won't be able to rebel against me. So you see, he's giving them a license, but he's not really putting his trust in the Jews. He's putting them in a vulnerable situation where their fortification was really based on wood that could be burned down. So the Gemara says, wait a second, you're holding it against him that he put wood with the stones in the wall? Atu Shlomo l'Avidachi, didn't King Solomon do the same thing when he built the walls? V'achtiv, but the verse says, when he built the courtyard, it says, Shlosha turei gazit v'tur kutot arazim. Three layers of stone and one layer of wood. The Gemara says, nah, you can't compare. Shlomo avid milimala, viu avid milimata. Solomon did it on top. He did it on bottom so that he could collapse the wall. Shlomo shakei bevinyana, iu lo shakei bevinyana. Shlomo ensured that the wood was set into the stone, so then the stone wouldn't collapse if the wood was burned. He didn't do that. He did the exact opposite. He wanted to leave them vulnerable. Shlomo sadye besida. Solomon covered the wood with sid. He protected it. Iulo sadye besida, and he did not cover it with sid.
Plaster?
Yeah, plaster. So that's the second understanding. How do we know that he turned sour? Rav Yosef Itema Rav Yitzchak gave a third answer. Minalan deachmitz mehacha. How do we know he turned sour? From this verse. It says that when he was giving approval to Nehemiah to go and rebuild the temple, it says, "Vayomer li amelech v'ashegal yoshevet etzlo." The king answered me, and the shegal was sitting by him. My shegal. What is the shegal that was sitting next to him? Amar Rava bar Leima mishmei derav kalbeta. That's talking about his dog. He used to sleep with his dog. And even Noahides are forbidden from having intimate relations with an animal. So that's how you know he sinned. Why was he having this dog, this pet, right next to him? He used to sleep with the dog.
Right.
Where's the
word that it says,
Mishmei derav, kalbisa. Kalbisa is a female dog.
So it's just a dog. And then Rashi says, it's because he had religion.
Well, it's more than that. Ela me'ata ha'dichtiv v'almarei. But if that's so, if shegal is a dog, so then we have another verse that uses the word shegal. The verse when Belshazzar drinks from the holy vessels and Daniel comes and rebukes him, so he tells him, v'almarei shmaya itomamta, you raised your heart, so to speak, over the master of heavens. And they took out his vessels before you. And you, and your officers, and your shegal, and your women all drank wine from the holy vessels. The shegal kalbita, and if shegal is a female dog, the shegal kalbitai, kalbita bat mishti achamrai, do female dogs drink wine? Daniel's telling Belshazzar, you, your officers, your shegal, your lechan, everyone's been drinking wine from the holy vessels. What, do female dogs drink wine from holy vessels? What's going on here? Answers the Gemara, Hallo Kasha, that's not a question. You could teach a dog, you could train a dog to drink wine. So Belshazzar trained his dog, and when he took out the holy vessels, he even gave his dog to drink from the vessels. Elamatas, the Gemara says, wait a second, but the word shegal appears in another verse. The verse says in Tehillim, Dichtiv, it says in Tehillim, a verse of praise, Notnachim bikirotecha, nitzeva shegali mincha becheta mofir. The daughters of kings, they honor you. The shegal stands to your right in glory. The shegal kalvetai maikam vasalu navid Yisrael. And if shegal is a female dog, what is the prophet telling the Jewish people about their future? You'll have a female dog to your right. What's going on here? The Gemara says, no, you got to understand the verse. What the verse was saying is, what the prophet was telling them, that in the merit, in the wages, that the Jews love the Torah just like the pagans love their dogs, that's why you will merit to the glory. So the third understanding that Koresh turned into a sinner was that when he came and gave approval to build the temple, he was having a female dog next to him who he used to sleep with. So you see, he turned sour. And if you want, I'll tell you another answer. Lolam shegal malketai. Really, shegal literally means to have intimate relations. And shegal is a reference to his wife, the queen. So then, what's going on here? How come Rabbi Bar Leima said that it was his female dog that was next to him? He had a tradition that that's what was going on in that scene. But technically, shegal is the way you thought it meant. Shegal really means the woman who he's with intimately. And in this case, they knew it referred to a dog. That was who he was intimate with at night. So why was the female dog called a shegal? Because he loved her like a queen. Or else because he put her on the queen's throne. Sitting right next to him was this female dog. And here we have a fourth answer. If you want, I'll tell you another source that he turned sour, and that's why we started counting his years like a regular king, not a Jewish king. Mehacha, because the verse says, when he gave them the final authorization to build the temple, he said, "At kesaf kakerin mea, v'at chintim korin mea, v'at ve'ad chamar batin mea, v'ad batin meshach mea, umlachti lochetav." He gave a finite number how much he was going to fund the work in the temple. Ne'ikara b'lo kitzuta, originally he said, I'll cover everything as much as you need. Ve'hashta, and then when it came down to writing out the license, b'kitzuta, he wrote an exact number. This is how much I'm willing to fund. The Gemara says, wait a second, that's why you're telling me he turned sour. V'dinma me'ikara lo avekine b'kitzuta. Maybe originally he didn't know how much they'd need. So that's why he didn't write down a number. He gave him a blank check. So the Gemara says, you're right. This fourth answer is not acceptable. This isn't the proof that he did anything wrong. Maybe now he knew the numbers, so that's why he filled in the blank check. Ela machvata, but the pure and white answer is kedeshanyan meikara, the way we answered originally. One of the first three answers is the source that he turned bad, and that's why Koresh originally we counted his years by the like a Jewish king, and later on like a regular king. And here, should we continue one more minute? Because we're over time. Okay, an interesting historical fact, Koresh was a Jew. You know, he was a non-Jewish king, but he was the daughter of Queen Esther. So he was a Jew, Koresh. This is Koresh, the son of Ahasuerus. So when the rabbis say, originally we counted his years like a Jewish king, well, he was king over the Persian Empire. He didn't live like a Jew. He didn't do anything like a Jew. You know, the Gemara says he was sleeping with his dog. You know, he wasn't very Jewish. But he was a Jew. So originally they counted like a Jew. And the Malbim even says, who was this Shegal? This woman that, this mysterious woman that Talmud says, maybe it's his female dog, maybe. So the Malbim says, Pshat is that the Shegal who was sitting to his right is his mother, Queen Esther. Ahasuerus died a few years after the Megillah. She had a son, Koresh. And then when Nehemiah comes in and Koresh is sitting there and he hears about the temples and ruins and Jerusalem, the Jews are suffering. So the Pasuk points out, and his mother was sitting to his right, because the Malbim says his mother turned to him and said, son, you're living like a guy. You're not doing anything Jewish. At least fund the rebuilding of the temple. His mother said, this is our holy temple. And she explained to him what it meant to them. So then he said, Ma, okay, if that's what you want, fine. And then he wrote a blank check and sent Nehemiah and said, okay, go build the temple. And that's what the Talmud over here is saying. You know, originally Koresh said, here's a blank check, go do it. And then he said, wait a second, actually, and he ensured that he would always be able to take it down. And it's interesting, because with this understanding, we end up with something we discussed in Megillah, that really Megillah's Esther revolves around the temple. And at the end, Megillah Esther is really the opening of the rebuilding of the temple, because the fact that Esther was there in that position allowed her later to have their temple rebuilt. And the Gemara says, Koresh is one of the people that were identified before he was born. The prophet in Isaiah, even before the temple is destroyed, speaks about this future Messiah named Koresh. And the Talmud says that God laments over Koresh. God says, I had great hopes for you. I called you, I identified you before you were born. And the prophet Yeshaya and Isaiah, he speaks out to Koresh, and then he laments because Koresh could have been the Mashiach. Esther's son could have built the future of the Jewish people, and instead of leading the Jewish people to rebuild the temple, he stayed out in Persia on his throne, and he said, okay, I'll give you guys a check, go take care of what you have to do. But God laments that. God said, you had such potential, you were supposed to be the Mashiach. You were supposed to go and lead the rebuilding of the second temple. It would have looked differently, but he didn't. So it was a big historical failure, Koresh. You know, on the one hand, he did a positive thing. He allowed us to go back to Israel and rebuild the temple. But we see from the prophets that God had greater expectations of him. He could have done much, much better.
Did he also help the
rebuilding? No, that wasn't it.